Hello and welcome back to the Mortgage and Real Estate Podcast by Pinnacle. I'm Chris Giannino, and as always, I am joined by my brother Pete Giannino, and we are very excited. Today we are at the International Tap House in Soulard, joined by the owners Sean Conroy and Andy Conroy. Thanks for having us here. I love this place. Love all your locations. And
welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
So, thank you.
Thanks for having us,
Christopher and Peter.
Yes.
Sorry, I have to use your full names. It's every time I talk to Peter, I call him Peter.
So. No, I prefer. Thank you. Yes. I'm sophisticated.
Your God-given names.
When you bring in that level of sophistication to a show like this, it really...
Look who you're dealing with here.
Exactly.
You really just dropped
That's
us
why
down
we're
a level.
Well, this is... I mean, you guys, what were you, a week away from Mardi Gras?
Yep.
You guys got the place ready. I can see you're getting your inventory locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. A lot of inventory.
A lot of Aquafina here.
This is a big weekend. This is Taste of Soulard and the Pet Parade, and then the Grand Parade's next weekend. So it's actually two weekends wrapped into one. So it's a gauntlet, but a good gauntlet.
I forgot about the Pet Parade. That's awesome.
Is that Sunday?
Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, good weather.
And what's the Taste of Soulard then?
Taste of Soulard's all weekend, but the big day's Saturday. So you get a ticket, you walk around, you can eat, get free little nibbles and pop into bars. It's good. It's like a huge bar crawl. So,
and well, how do you, you as International Tap House, how do you participate in that?
We basically set up a stand out front and sell beer and cocktail and ciders and all that sort of thing.
Okay,
so.
Perfect. And we're situated here right next to Epic Pizza as well. So you guys partner with them on different opportunities?
We do. We have our VIP experience on parade day, which is... I'm going to say $110, maybe $120, and you get unlimited draft pours. Well, unlimited is very, especially on Mardi Gras.
Right. We can't put that on
two
the air.
It's a very subjective, and then food by Epic. So
Warm bathrooms.
Yeah.
Yes, clean bathrooms.
Well, no. I would say clean most times.
No, it depends how early you get here.
Yes, clean early.
Let me.
Cleanish.
I got to pause for a second, but the actual parade day is what, the 11th or 10th?
10th.
10th, February 10th. Sorry, Saturday, February 10th.
Day before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So what it's going to be a hell of a weekend.
What a weekend we have. And, you know, we showed up while the inventory was arriving here. So it's, I think you'll be, well... Well served. I don't know if that's the right word, but well served if you show up.
St. Louis, you have a lot of work to do.
That's exactly right.
They'll leave hydrated.
Thank you.
Well, there's probably a high demand for alcohol in those days, isn't there?
I don't know.
Something like that. I would put a liver on loan.
It's not that tough to go out and sell it, really.
No.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the weather's supposed to be amazing.
Oh, my
right?
God, yeah.
Especially this weekend.
She knows. I've been just looking at the...
He checks it about every 10 minutes.
Weather's your biggest salesperson.
And it changes every 10 minutes, much like mortgage rates.
Oh, transition
like we just
boy.
About. Very good. What a segue. Back to mortgage rates. All right, so what we're talking about here is...
More about us.
But mortgage rates did shift a little bit today. They've been going up. They've been going down. We're here with Andy Conroy as well, who is a real estate agent at Savio Realty in the heart of the hill, directly across the street from Pinnacle Home Loans, if you're trying to get a reference.
And, which we know everyone knows where Pinnacle is, so we just want to make sure you can picture where Andy goes to work.
Yeah, so, I mean, no, but what an unbelievable establishment. I really do appreciate you having us here because, I mean, you know, it says on your website, You guys, you and your business partner had started this in 2009, and you guys had you talked about it on vacation over some beers, and then you started the company on Super Bowl Sunday in
2009
with the Pittsburgh versus Arizona
Cardinals.
Yeah. Oh,
Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
So, and it says you guys.
He had an interception in that game, I think.
It wasn't his best.
They lost.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, not about him.
But it says you guys, you know, you had, you called each other's bets, basically, and you had many sleepless nights trying to, you know, there's tons of preparation that goes into this, obviously. And, but obviously we know it's more than just calling each other's bets. I mean, this is just a really well-run establishment, and it's not easy to do that. And you've expanded tremendously. So there obviously was more to it than just calling each other's bets. I mean, so what was your big why? I mean, what gave you that type of drive to basically follow through and just execute? Because what did you do before that? What industry were you in then?
I slung news for Fox 2 News. I was a reporter, and it was fun for a while, and then it just got miserable. So, but the best part, let me backtrack a little bit. The best part of that story of Brad and I going out and taking this dare was Andy and Mary Jane at home, 9 months pregnant?
Yeah, we were due any day. Mm-hmm. And so we stayed home. We had 2-year-olds, and we were both 9 months pregnant.
Oh, my.
And they came home, you know, drunk.
Oh,
and
good timing. You guys are
we're
great.
We're opening a bar.
Yeah.
And we're like, whatever. And then it just... Yeah. You know, just took off from there.
He's been a sweet talker ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you know, brilliant idea.
Yeah, sure, babe.
Brad's more the business kind of, you know, numbers guy, or the face out front, make an ass out of myself situation.
Clearly.
And over the years, those two, yin and yang, have really benefited the business and, you know.
For sure.
So, you know, there's a lot of give and take and, you know. A lot of being kicked in the you-know-what and kicked in the you-know-what.
Yep.
And you've remained very good friends through it all.
We have, yeah.
Which has been
very
unique. It's been pretty unique.
Yes.
But it does take a lot of, I think we've both learned to compromise and know when to compromise and know when to stand our ground and politely compromise. And
right.
So not a lot of people can do that. It's a very unique situation for sure. And very, to use a saintless word, very blessed to... you know, continue to grow and continue to just provide great hospitality and great service and a wonderful selection.
Yeah, because it could go in so many different directions. I mean, you know, when one, it seems like there's a, not only to your business partner, but obviously to your, the rest of your family as well, but there's a huge accountability component to that. So if you have a business partner and you're of the personality of, I'm not going to let this person down. I'm holding my end of the bargain. And the other person has that mentality as well. It ends up leading to these building blocks of success.
Mm-hmm.
It could also have an inverse effect if one person says, I'm doing everything, he's not, I'm going to stop doing it, and it goes the opposite direction.
It's been nice because resent rarely pops into the situation. We've been very good at separating our strengths and our weaknesses, and math is not my strength, so I let Brad do most of that math, as Andy can surely attest.
And they also, we have kids that line up exactly the same, so if they need to be off or travel or out of town, we get it, because we have a daughter the same age and a son the same age. So kind of when you line up and we get it, they get each other.
Yeah, so it's been very, and trust me, you hear numerous stories that partnerships between friends don't, you know, A, the partnership dissolves and the friendship is, you know, exploded as well. But, you know, knock on wood as I knock on this nice, fine table here at ITEP that we'll continue to, you know, figure this out and do the best for not only the business but two families.
So this Super Bowl is going to be your 25th anniversary of the business?
No, it was 2009.
Not yet. 15th.
15th.
Yeah.
Well, 15th. Close to 14th.
See, I'm good.
So Sean's correcting Chris on the math now. Things have
actually, you're right. No, it's the 15th.
Nature.
It's not 14th. So
I just
to my prior point.
Things have taken a turn.
Well, I did.
Hold on. Let me get the calculator out.
I read something on the way here
question.
To make sure, you know, you always build up the people you're talking to. So,
so
I wanted to make sure that
shot,
I
25.
Didn't know how to do math. Of course, I knew it was 14. So, great. I mean, yeah, it's very difficult to do. You guys have expanded. How many locations do you have now?
We have 5 across the state now. So here, Del Mar Loop at Skinker and Del Mar, Columbia, right off the campus at University of Missouri. Go Tigers. And then 2 in in Kansas City, 1 downtown in the Crossroads District, and 1 in, just recently opened in Lee Summit.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Thanks for not saying go Kansas.
Yes. Never.
Okay, good.
Never. Except for those Kansas fans that like to.
Of course.
They're always welcome here.
those components, and that's a lot to do with sports as well. I know you guys were soccer teammates, mm-hmm. and the accountability goes over to sports big time. I mean, that's how team sports really have a lot of parallels with business, where just the accountability, you're doing it for your partner, you're doing it for your teammate, and I know you have kids in sports as well. But that being said, you also have a great, I love your outlook on the business. It's, you can call us, but we may not answer, but you can email us. We don't serve food, but you can bring some in. And it's just a very simple run business that excels at what you specialize in, and you do that part very, very well.
We set this up, obviously, you know, the beer selection is the quote unquote draw, but Brad and I always wanted it to be a place that we like to hang out at. And, you know, everyone's like, have you been to this new bar? I've been to this new bar. I'm like, no, you know what? Because I generally hang out where I like to hang out. Yeah. Those are our bars. But we're getting service is the key. Hospitality, atmosphere is the key. Making everyone feel like a friend and just a place for everyone. You know, there's not, you know, we it's not like it's on a mantra or anything, but we say, just leave your attitude at the door. You know, this is just a fun place to hang out, have conversations, meet new people.
Not a sports bar, but a bar that has sports.
A bar that likes sports, yeah. And that's, you know, it's pretty awesome when the World Cup or something like that, you know, rolls around. It's just wall-to-wall people here, and it's incredible. And we're very excited when that happens. It's, you know, especially growing up playing soccer, it's a great atmosphere here for sure. But it's a great atmosphere for Super Bowl. It's a great atmosphere for playoffs. It's a great atmosphere for... I mean, I remember when the Cardinals made that run, and it was, you know, five deep in here. And then, you know,
you see the whole bar cheer at the same time.
Yeah, how good is that?
It's, you know? it's pretty amazing. And that's one of those things, like, we've created some place for people to share those memories, not only with their friends, but strangers across this whole metro area.
With each location, we have really tried to embrace the neighborhood that it's in. Which I think has helped a lot. Crossroads is a little bit edgier, a little more art district.
Crossroads, Kansas City, Lee's Summit.
Lee's Summit is more suburban. We kind of have a lot of the local high school stuff out. So I think that helps.
Like the Applebee's? No, I'm just kidding.
I thought you were going to say the high school students.
I know. Don't tell me the high school students. No, we got a lot of the high school students.
But, you know, they're the Tigers.
Yeah,
but
that's great.
Like, each location does.
That makes sense.
The neighborhood, like Soulard, this inside Soulard is very, like, eclectic of the neighborhood.
This is very Soulard-y.
Yeah, you recognize
where
you are.
I don't know how to explain it, but it's Soulard-y, yeah.
You got
Soulard-y, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know how to spell it,
but let's talk to Webster's about getting that in the dictionary next year.
Well, the culture is hard to, in a business, to maintain the same culture, especially when you have multiple locations. Was there something that you guys talked about or rolled out or wanted to make sure was present in all of your locations when it comes to culture? What was the most important thing?
The biggest thing was, you know, hospitality, service, correct atmosphere. You know, the beer is always going to be a bit. Obviously, there's a wall of beer behind us. It's like people walk in, they're like, oh, my God, that's
beer
impressive.
Paralysis.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that only goes so far, and that only takes you so long, you know, so far. But the atmosphere, the service, the, you know, treating people, you know, like they want to be treated. And that's what Brad and I, and to an extent, Mary Jane and Andy set this business up for, is just to be a place that we're proud to take our friends to, and we're proud to hang out at. I think we've accomplished that and continue to accomplish that. As we said, this is a constant work in progress. You know, we didn't invent the beer bar, we didn't invent the Soulard-y bar, but we're just at a constant chase of perfection, just to perfect it, and hopefully we never get there, so we can keep going.
Yeah, keep striving for sure. And I've, to your point, I've had many fun conversations and nights at this particular
table
that we're sitting at today. So, and very generous for that hospitality, you know, appreciate it. And so I thought it was appropriate to sit back here. You know, and Chris touched on just, you know, your family too. And, you know, your family's been really important to my family and our kids and everything. And we spent a lot of time together. So we're very grateful for that. You know, my daughter insisted that I send her this podcast. So without further ado, I must at least give a plug to our kids. You know, our two daughters, Quinn Conroy and Emma Giannino, have been great pals for, I don't know, seven or eight years.
That's crazy. Sure.
And they are still great pals, even though they're 9 hours away in college. So kudos to the Conroy family for, you know, creating that opportunity for my kid and always treating her so well. I mean, your businesses are important, but the way you treat my kids and my family have been just over the top.
So, likewise. Yeah. It's been, they have a special connection, and I think they'll always have it. You know, you have, especially like high school age and college age, you're always like, will they really be friends? But right. Her and Emma will be friends forever.
She was just telling me the other night something Quinn said, and I was like, I mean, you're talking to, it sounds like you're talking to Quinn more than you're talking to me.
Well, yeah, Dad.
Likely. Right.
I mean, we could still set up Lexi and Kel and still be in-laws.
I don't know if I'd do that to Lexi.
You'd have to get Lexi out of the house then.
Right.
Same with Kel.
I agree. Maybe they could be set up. They'd be perfect.
All ex-awesome athletes as well.
Yeah. Both Emma's. Girls are playing soccer in college, and it's pretty amazing. We Sean and Andy and I and Molly have spent too many hours dealing with soccer over the years in some capacity, and it just did not end at the end of high school.
No, we were very blessed to keep it going.
And yeah, so here we are.
And every Thursday night, I get on ESPN Plus and turn the TV on and watch the Dayton Flyers and
I like it.
Yell at the coach for the TV to put Emma in. Put six.
You're saying her
although
name
she's
wrong.
Eight. Yes.
Yeah. They do.
I cannot get Janine Nora.
They give her the Latin swirl.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, and so you know, and our kids. I thought about the St. Louis. You're not, Sean. You're not even a native St. Louisan, and we've kind of well, at least you haven't. You did spend a lot of your time away from St. Louis.
Yes.
Let's put it that way. And we've had a. I think a St. Louis is a place of where people don't really leave, and there's a lot of natives here. But our last several podcasts have sort of featured people that have
transplants.
Yeah. And it's. It's really refreshing, first of all, and talk about your past and kind of how you came back or ended up here, you know?
Yeah, but a lot of that has to do with the housing market, which we'll get to later, I assume. My dad was a fighter pilot in the Air Force, so we moved around quite a bit, and then I ended up settling in Utah, of all places, which is odd that I own a bar and grew up in Utah. Everyone's like, what?
You were cut off for so long.
And I live around where the best skiing is Hidden Valley, you know? Right. But
don't knock it till you try.
Yeah. And I just, the nice thing was my parents are both from here. My dad grew up in Richmond Heights, went to CBC. My mom grew up in Festus, graduated from Herky High. You know, got to get the high schools in there, of course.
Thank you.
They met at SEMO, and then he went off the Air Force and moved around. So I was, you know, the nice thing about coming to Mizzou, I could get away from home, but I could also have grandma and grandpa's aunts and uncles.
Money.
Yeah. laundry.
Right.
Yeah, you know, less than 2 hours away. So it was actually a perfect fit. And then I get to meet great people, including this one next to me. Especially this one next to me.
Thank you.
Nice to recognize Chris.
it just kind of worked out. And, you know, I remember the first time, just quickly, first time going back to Utah, I just would sit out on my parents' deck and be like, holy crap. You know, like, just the views. It's you miss it. Yeah, I miss it a lot. But, you know, it's not St. Louis in that there's not connections, there's not roots, there's not great neighborhoods, there's not diversity, there's not, you know, a wonderful sense of pride here in St. Louis. And, you know, that's something that really is attractive to not only me, but I assume all sorts of people who come from, you know, Chicago, New York. Andy, you know, as you guys know, Andy, clients left and right who come from out of town, especially with WashU here.
Right.
You get a lot of people from out of town, and they're usually very pleasantly surprised with St. Louis, especially, you know, the amount of house you can get.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of beer you can drink, the amount of cocktails you can have, the amount of fun you can have.
Cost of living here.
Yeah.
It's very easy to live here.
Yeah, it is easy to live here. And that's what I always tell people, you know, when I go home or you know, around the country. It's like, you know, don't knock it till you tried it. And there's plenty of people that are trying it, and hopefully more and more people
try it. No, it's crazy, yeah. And you talked about pride, and, you know, you are a man that I know has pride in his bride, rightfully so. And so, Andy Conroy, you know, I know there's no man that's as successful and likable as Sean is without, you know, a good woman behind him. And I've known you a long time, and you are nothing else but a good woman. I mean, spectacular. You know, for your family and for St. Louis. So thank you so much again today for joining us. Let's talk about you a little bit. Where are you from?
So I grew up in a small town called Washington, Missouri, just down 44.
Oh boy,
which she thinks no one ever heard of. She's always like, I grew up in this small town of Washington, Missouri. Everyone knows where Washington, Missouri is.
Jesus.
Went to St. Francis Borgia High School.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So everyone has probably played us in some sport.
Right, right.
Yes, so went there and then went away to Mizzou. Met this guy and followed him around to a few different states as he... did the reporting thing, but it was all good. We lived in some cool cities. Green Bay, Wisconsin, amazing on a Sunday.
On a Sunday in football season,
no
there's no better place.
At the mall or
right, the whole town.
Yes, if you're gonna rob a bank,
the whole
do it on
town.
A football weekend in Green Bay.
That'll be one of our snips.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And one of our notes. Very good.
Yes. So we moved around to some great cities as he kind of climbed the ladder in the reporting business and always had a desire to get back here.
Yeah.
And once we did, it was easy. It's so easy. Well,
This was always my home away from home. So, I mean, whether Green Bay, Rochester, Minnesota, Salt Lake City or Kansas City, you know,
right.
St. Louis was always, you know, we're going to get back here. We're going to raise our kids here. You know, as you guys well know, It's hard.
It's a disease we all have, I think.
Now, the national headlines, I mean, most people have to come here for one reason or another, but they're not really looking forward to it based on the national headlines. But once they get here, they realize it's much different. I mean, places like this, for example,
yes.
You guys are huge contributors to this. This is a historic neighborhood, and you guys really added to it. And all the other neighborhoods, like you said, you fit in. So, I mean, when you come to St. Louis, it definitely is a place that's easy to live, great place to raise a family. As far as the housing market, I mean, the values have been appreciating, but we don't see the massive swings like they do on the coast.
Right.
You know, it's still sound investments. They're going to go up. They might go down a little bit, but ultimately, they're going up.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about... just
whether to buy
completely losing a couple $100,000 in the drop of a hat, because that just doesn't happen here.
Right.
It's like, where do you want to buy instead of, you know, can I buy? You know, that's the nice thing about it.
Where do you focus your real estate business? Which areas are you?
So my office,
going out to Washington
my office, like we said, right across the street from you, also right above Milo's.
Never heard of it.
Yes. Right above Milo's Mochi Bar. So I, you know, obviously do stuff on the Hill, but we live in Webster, so I do a lot in Webster. I still work with family and high school friends out in Washington, Missouri.
Nice.
I, you name it, I'll go there. I'm all over Missouri. But, you know, it's just where your people are, your friends, your family, your sports teams, you meet people, and it's been great.
Areas that you know, too. Yep.
It is. It's who you know. It's very word of mouth. So it's been great. It's been... because it's not what I went to school for. I went to school for counseling, which I still use every day.
I think that's pretty...
I went to school for counseling, too.
And look where we are. So go figure,
so.
Right?
That's another theme that we've had recently, which is people in real estate did not... intend to be in real estate.
100%.
You know, it's
100%.
Except for my brother. He's been in real estate his whole career, very successful at it. But it's kind of, he recognized something that a lot of us did not. And earlier podcast, someone indicated that, you know, there was a lack of fulfillment in whatever position she was in previously. And, you know, I thought about that, and people, she's, you know, a little older than me, perhaps. And I think that there's all kinds of age groups getting into real estate.
Oh, know? Yeah.
It's I don't know what it is about the industry, except no. What do you think?
Well, I think for me, at least, it was the flexibility.
Ah, that's good.
So it was definitely the flexibility as we started adding kids into the equation. I kind of fell into it.
Yeah, fell into it.
When we were in Kansas City with his job, Sean just happened to ask, you know, we were moving into this really cool loft in the city, and he just happened to ask, you know, the office ladies, like,
yeah, she said, you need anything else?
Yeah. And Sean goes, well, she needs a job, which I was kind of taken back, but he was right, because I was just following him around. I hadn't even started looking yet. So I started there with, and I didn't even realize it was quite a big real estate developer that owned many properties here in St. Louis that allowed me to move around and open up places in St. Louis and Kansas City. And that's kind of where I started. I would fill up these really cool lofts and fancy apartments.
Yeah, the lofts at Lafayette Square.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
the old Forest Park Hotel.
The Forest Park Hotel. We lived in some really cool places.
We were one of the first people to live in there, and it was kind of a shining situation. You know,
yeah,
like
we lived there alone.
Like alone, and you're like in this
huge
building.
And
this huge place. It was great.
Buckle up.
Yes, Red Rum.
Now it's a beautiful, it's full and beautiful. But
yes, it was wonderful. So that's how I fell into it, and then just ended up, you know, with Carol at Savio Realty, and then just kind of stuck that out. And it's been the best job ever, like I said, with kids. Coming back to that, the flexibility. You can work as much as you want or not work as much as you want. It's my full-time job. It's my everything. I couldn't do it part-time because these contracts are too tricky. I feel like I got to know what's going on.
And you run into a bunch of people who do it part-time, and you're like, you can kind of tell.
So then I'm doing twice the work.
No offense to them, but
flexibility,
I mean,
flexibility does not mean part-time.
Right, you know? Exactly.
Flexibility means I might not have to do it from 2 to 4, but I have to do it from 8 to 10 p.m.
I don't know how many 11 p.m. texts she gets. I'm like,
I know.
What is that? And she's like, it's my client.
No boundaries.
Javier.
It's what we do.
Yeah, the flexibility and the connection with people. It seems like those are the two main, areas why people go into real estate. It's not necessarily that they just are fascinated with selling a home. It's all the other things that come along with it.
Yes.
But, I mean, when you have this many locations in this restaurant industry, flexibility and kids, flexibility
was huge.
Is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our kids are even to the point, probably yours as well, Pete, they're like, they don't understand when parents can't do stuff. And I'm like, well, this is not, most people aren't this flexible.
Right.
Most people have rigid jobs and you know, and I think our kids are finally starting to get that. But it's just like, not everyone can go to.
Driving to a Thursday game in Ohio isn't normal.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. It's not normal. It's not what we grew up with.
No.
But we've been
fortunate. It's a great life and very, as I say, blessed to be able to do something like that. And but it, you know, like, with both of us, it and you guys as well, it doesn't come without hard work.
No.
And, we're just working
and attention
hours.
To detail and you know, customer service and stuff like that. And that's, you know, there's so many things that just line up as far as this. You know, I'd like to say it's dumb luck, you know, for everyone sitting at this table, but it's not dumb luck. There's hard work. There's a lot of restless nights. There's a lot of long nights. You know, you put in the work so you can have that flexibility. But and I tell my kids, sometimes it's like, you know, these next 2 weekends, they know I'm going to be busy. And it's just like, sorry, bud, can't play golf. I got to go sling a bunch of beer, hopefully.
It just seems like you had such a clear vision, though, because just the cutoffs, like we're not going to have food. Those type of things. You guys, did you have that clear vision, or were you guys like just making changes as you went along? Obviously, you made changes as you went along, but to start off, because once you have that clear vision, you know, it's, you can get there 10 times quicker.
I think it just erases any distractions. You know, Brad came up with this. He's like, you don't want me making anything further than a turkey sandwich. So in that regard. But it's weird that I grew up, my dad actually had a restaurant. Like I said, he was a fighter pilot, so he'd, you know, fly jets in the morning and afternoon, and he'd go and run his restaurant in Ogden, Utah. And something he always wanted to do. So I kind of grew up in it. And I thought, God, I'm going to pitch this to my dad, who was, you know, one of our initial investors. I'm like, God, he's going to go. Like, Dad, hey, we're not going to have food. We're not gonna. He's like, okay.
Well,
that's
he
fine.
Did say we needed peanuts.
Peanuts, yes. He was, peanuts and popcorn.
Course,
he did say that.
You used to have peanuts. You know, I can't remember.
You know, peanuts and popcorn make people thirsty, Sean. I'm like, okay.
That was always Grandpa's
like
two cents.
So maybe that's the only words of wisdom I haven't followed. Well, it's not the only, but.
We'll draw the line. We're not doing peanuts.
Yeah. But he said, you know, he's like, you know, I'm okay with that because, you know, he knows the you know, in the restaurant business, you make your money off of.
The drinks?
Drinks, soda, appetizers,
and it's
and
so
dessert.
Easy to mess up. Like, if us four went to dinner, one of us is not going to like their food.
And that's what my dad said. Actually, no, the first loan we went and got, we thought the same thing. And this was Bank of Washington, a friend of ours down there. And he's like, it's not a bad idea because you know what? In the restaurant business, you're one bad hamburger away from being put out of business. So
the reviews are going to come faster. A bad hamburger.
Yes. And well, and if it's a bad beer, you don't like it, we just pour it down the drain and report you something else.
You got a few to choose from.
Yeah,
there's
a few. There's a few. A few hundred. So, I mean, I'm not saying it was genius on our part. Like I said, we didn't invent this concept. We just work on perfecting it. But kitchens are just tough. And you probably done podcasts and you know people in the business. It's, you know.
Staffing.
Pete and I know you know, with Pat.
Yeah,
it's just like banging your head against the
lot of employment issues that come with that.
And
you know?
So the nice thing is, you know, here in Soulard, we're connected to Epic Pizza and Mission Taco. Order over there, over there, bring it over.
And pizza's pretty damn good, too.
Yes, it is. And their wings are amazing.
Oh,
Epic.
Man. Those are so good.
And a lot of people take advantage of bringing their own in. Like, if they're
still
thrown,
do. Yeah.
That's a big thing.
How does that work if, you know, people are listening? Like, what's the bring-in process?
Just...
order something in.
Bring it in, as long as it's
like
not too stinky.
Like
your Domino's.
Yeah. Right? They might throw like a 30th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And they'll bring the whole appetizers, cake, the whole shebang.
And we'll always recommend that you know, patronize our neighbor, our neighbors first and
of
foremost.
Course. And I can recommend that too, because I've experienced it many times. Very good.
That's always what we do. But sometimes people want to bring in, you know, something from, you know, the hill. You know, I think actually we've had parties here with my parents,
and we
brought
some T-Ravs.
Brought stuff in from Zia's and Canetto's. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. When we first opened it, people are like, what? You know, that was like the weirdest thing ever. And I think it's becoming more and more.
Well, people
mainstream.
Get it now.
They get it now.
It's not really,
there's still a lot of people that don't get it.
This is what it is here.
I think our number one question for people who've never been here, come in and say,
where's your menu?
Where's your food menu?
Yeah.
But the nice thing is here in Soulard and then Kansas City, we're connected to Mission Taco. And then actually in Lee's Summit, we have Johnny Joe's Pizza in the building with us. Del Mar, we've got Mission Taco on the same block. We've got a great Euro place on the same block, a great Thai place on the same block. So you can, you know, order in. In Columbia, you know, there's Shakespeare's right around the corner, and, you know.
That's Luches, a great.
And, yeah.
What a Luches, great location
and, you know,
that one
and then
is. Too.
They're not really as interested in eating as they are drinking.
I was waiting for you to get there. I watched you struggle
out
through
of all of our locations, that's the least of our.
They'll eat Gumby's pizza later.
Big old Gumby.
So, I mean. For the people that are listening, I mean, what would you say to somebody who's, hi, mom, dad,
hey, 8, 24, 24.
What do you say to someone who is getting ready to go into business with a good friend of theirs, in a partnership and they're in the early stages? What advice would you give them, as they're getting started to make a couple decisions?
I, you know, and Annie can attest to this, and she's like, why? I mean, a lot of times you just have to fall on the sword, for lack of a better term, and swallow your pride, because that's what's best for the business. And, you know, there's been a lot of times where we haven't agreed with each other, Brad and I, and we admit that, and we own it, and we, You know, if it's something that he really believes in, he's going to fight for it. If it's something that Mary Jane really wants, she's going to fight for it. If it's something that Andy really is steadfast about, we're going to fight for it as well. But you also have to understand, you know, and it's much like a marriage, you know, pick your battles. Absolutely pick your battles. I mean, is this really the fight you want to, you know, is this the hill you want to die on, so to speak? God, I'm just throwing cliches out left and right.
There's got to be a couple more.
I'll find them.
If you can't beat them, join them.
I'm going through the Rolodex right now. But I mean, that's it. It's literally it. It's just, you know, there's a lot of stuff you just got to swallow and push forward. And, you know, I think we're both really good at that.
Yeah, you got
to
just
say that
go
after
for it.
14, 15, 16, whatever
yeah,
I figured 25, years.
Yeah,
you know,
25. Somewhere between 15 and 25.
15. This is your 15th year anniversary.
Still consider
Super Bowl. Saturday.
Yeah, it is.
Sunday.
I still consider Brad one of my best friends. And,
which
that's,
is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And I would hope he'd say the same about me. At least
did
it sure seems about it on these road trips we take, but you know,
did he
it's
have
along fine.
Anything to do with all these Christmas lights in here? And
oh,
no, this was all.
Thank you for bringing that.
This was all me. This was all me. Andy said, "Don't get on the ladder." And then she comes in. She's like, "You got on the ladder."
It looks like you
it's
never
chronic.
Got off the ladder.
Yes.
Chronic.
So we're leaving these up till Mardi Gras. Then we'll take them down. You know,
they might come down on their naturally.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
We could take them down.
Staff
at
like,
Mardi Gras.
Well, the staff is like, "Can we leave them up?" I'm like, "Yeah," because I told you had to take them down, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's like your kids. Yeah.
You put them up.
They're good. I like them.
Yeah. This. I mean,
kinda
this
fun.
Weekend though, like. I know we touched on the weather, but, you know, I'm looking out back here, and you got the garage door. That might have to be open.
It might have to, yeah.
Yeah.
But then you, God knows what strolls
in. I know.
In,
I thought about
does
that,
does this
too.
Become one in, one out, or what?
Yeah. On the, honestly, this weekend is generally our biggest weekend, and a lot of people are like, back to Mardi Gras, it's like people are like, oh, you know, you heard these urban legends, like, oh, those bars make their... They
year.
Make as much. They make their year in one day, and mm-hmm. it's like you know, you know, there's no way. It equates to being a really, really good Saturday. The problem is, the Friday before sucks because no one wants to come down here, and then the Sunday after, everyone's like hungover shit. So.
You lose a couple days.
Yeah. That's Super
Sorry.
Bowl Sunday.
Crap. Sorry.
So that'll be interesting that Sunday.
Ooh. So, but that weekend before, which is Taste of Soulard, and which is like I said, it's like one of the biggest bar crawls in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It's just a really good time because they close the streets off for the most part and you can just wander from bar to bar to bar, restaurant, bar, restaurant. You know, there's so much.
Where's the food in connection with it? That's, is that down Broadway or am I thinking of that wrong?
No, it's just at all the restaurants.
Oh, all the restaurants.
Yeah, Epic.
Okay.
If you buy a ticket, you get like, I think a slice of pizza at Epic and you get a taco or two, specialty taco at Mission Taco, and then you get a little, I think a barbecue slider at Bogart's.
Yep.
Then you just go on down.
And that's the corner we're at right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's
some of the elites right there.
That's great. You know, and our staff's always like, oh gosh, but you know, it's just at the end of the night, it's the great thing is that you're marketing to every year. You're marketing to a new group of people.
Yeah.
Either have aged to that point or have
they're
just
back.
Or they're coming in town.
Yep.
Or they're new people who have moved in here and heard all about this and. So, you know, that's what we try to drill with our people. It's an opportunity to market ourselves. So you put up with kind of a hassle, and it's not really that big of a hassle at this point. We've been doing it for, we opened here in 2010, so we've been doing it for 14 years. 14 years.
I'm out.
25 years.
Hold on. Can someone clarify? 14 years.
Wait, I thought you opened in 2009.
That was in Chesterfield. That was our first location.
Okay,
this
okay,
one was
okay.
2010.
So
we've been doing this. So it's
years.
Almost to a point where, you know, get all the beer and cocktails.
We're kind of figuring it out.
We figured it all out.
Kind of, sort of, somewhat.
Finally,
well,
now.
Barely.
You have some of the, I know you have, beer's your specialty, of course, or what you're known for, but I know you have some mixed drinks now, and I think that's important to be known.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah,
you've had that a little bit, but I don't think everyone equates that with ITAP.
We were one of the first, I really believe this, to put cocktails on tap, which means we have kegs. We mix them ourselves, pressurize them, and they run through our draft system. And, you know, we have espresso martini here. We have a gin and tonic.
Amazing.
We have a Moscow Mule, a sangria that we kind of do for the fall. We put, you know, more spices in it. And for the
espresso martini sounds really good.
Oh, it's
amazing.
Really good. Yeah. And
you should try one.
The margarita.
I need to.
So, you know, we can't just... When we open in... 2009 in Chesterfield and 2010 here. That was like the pinnacle
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Touché. Pinnacle of the craft,
I guess we'll
craft
get an
beer
invoice
explosion
in the mail for that.
The pinnacle of the craft beer explosion. So, I mean, we hit it at the right time, but in the same regard, craft beer is still popular, beer is still popular, but everything else is kind of also come to the forefront as well. And if you're not aware of that, and you know, we're not a planner's house. We're not a, you know, we're not a cocktail bar where, you know, the bartender's gonna, it's gonna take 20 minutes to get a drink.
And it's not gonna, the presentation.
No,
and
it's, you know, and that's what we've kind of, you know, we're keeping true to the tap. You know, we put the draft on tap and it just comes out of the tap.
Smart.
And we can control it better that way. And
And people are happy with how fast they're getting it.
Yes.
Well, that's the main thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, speed is the key for all of us, whether it's drinks or appetizers or a restaurant, you know.
Yep.
Speed.
Or mortgage.
Mortgage.
Or
closing loans.
Speed.
That's what we boast.
ThePinnacleLoans.com.
What's the fastest closing you've had?
7 days.
And we do them commonly now.
We do 7 to 10 day closings very, very often now because it helps win contracts a lot of times. It's
7 days. Winning. You had like 2 weeks as your Andy?
Yeah, mine's probably been 2 weeks.
Well, seven days by law if you're getting it financed. Can't do it quicker.
You can't do
it
quicker than that.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Otherwise, you have to have some notices.
Yeah, the
and
fact
such.
That it was financed in 7 days and not cash is.
We love that.
We do it without stress.
Sign here.
Cash, Andrea.
Cash.
Forget about the cash. Finance. You keep your money.
Keep your money.
The greatest story was.
We got plenty to give out.
I'm a cash buyer. And the guy goes.
Green cash.
Green cash. Like briefcase of cash. Like, and she's like, what?
I was like, what?
That's scary.
I'm scared. How do I do this?
Well, let's close in 7 days and let's part ways quickly.
Again, we're here with Sean and Andy Conroy at ITAP.
Yeah.
Having a nice afternoon, the calm before the storm, before Mardi Gras, Super Bowl, the dog parade, and
the
taste of Soulard. Thank you. But how long, I wanted to ask you that, how long did it take from idea to opening?
Oh, that's a good question.
I would say about 2 years.
I don't know about 2 years, but I think it was at least a year. And it was...
you kind of burned the candle at both ends.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I was going to ask. Were you still in broadcasting?
Yes, I would get done with a 10 o'clock live shot and run out there and close the bar at 12:30.
Got it. Okay.
Wow. So that was not necessarily full-time behind the bar, but you know, just making sure. I mean, so yeah, it was an absolute full time.
Because a lot of people have these dreams or aspirations or a vision. They might have a partner. They might even have somebody that would invest in an opportunity or their plans. But it's very difficult to
pull that off.
Go off on your own and really. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. The one common thread is you gotta really. You're working long hours and you're pushing it for a period of time, no matter what industry you're in. But you know, if somebody wants to do that, but they can't leave their other job, the answer to that seems to be, well, don't leave your other job then.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't. I think I left in 2011.
Well, you were fortunate because your day job as a reporter, you worked like 3 to 11. Which allowed you to get that.
And it was, oddly enough, Sunday through Thursday. So
yeah,
I had
so
Fridays and Saturdays off.
Up.
So, but it was 7 days. And, you know,
daytime to start the bar.
You got a 2-year-old and a newborn. So
you have to make it work.
Yeah, so sacrifices, you know. And it was exhausting, especially with a 2-year-old and a newborn, you know.
Yeah. You don't even have to
credit to her. She was like, I'm like, I got to go do this. And she's like, that's fine. Go do it, you know. And. You know, when I left, it was a lateral move. It was, I probably took a pay cut at that time, but it was to the point where in the news, you don't get Christmas off, you don't get Thanksgiving off, you don't get a lot of weekends off, and you're working sometimes late nights, and it was basically a quality of life issue, and that's what I would always tell someone, you know. I mean, quality of life is, at least to me and Andy and, you know, probably you guys sitting here, quality of life is so much better than having gobbles of money and not being able to spend it.
Big dollar sign on that. Right?
Yeah. And it's like that for the longest time, it was a grind and it was, you know, we got to really work hard. And I, you know, it's like being a politician, be here at these big events and be here on the weekend and, you know,
kiss hands and shake babies. Wait, no.
Shake hands. That's why it took you so long.
But it's also for anyone opening a business. I will say it's great to have a.
Well, you got
to
love it.
You got to love it. You got to feel passionate about it.
Then it's not work.
You got to have a. And we've been very fortunate. We've got a partner, you know, a good partner family, and they've. You know, when we first opened, he was in Tampa. They were in Tampa, so it was all me, and he, you know. But he did a lot of the bill pay and you know, all that stuff behind the scenes. But it was helpful in that regard. But, yeah, I can see how people get worn out. And, you know, like I said, it's just whether it be dumb luck or just, you know, just determination. We've made it work, and we continue to make it work, and hopefully we will for, you know.
But there is always that time. You got to take a leap. I mean,
you do have to take a leap, but it's easier to take a leap. It's easier to take a leap with someone in your hand, you know, holding hands. And that's what, you know.
Oh, I think, I mean, that's another cliche metaphor. You have a partner.
Write that down. Yes.
Real estate's the same way. Real estate people, people in the restaurant industry, they might be doing real estate on the side or any number of businesses, and it's tough to leave to go full time in real estate.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Big Absolutely. Thing. That's why there's so many part time real estate agents. However, you know, and I think I'm just if you have a vision, if you can see it, like you guys had a clear picture, you can get there.
You can get
if you kind of think you want to do something else, but you don't know what it is. You're dabbling. It's hard to get there. But once you have the vision. You can. It's easier to work those long nights because you're making progress.
But that vision needs to include customer service, and whether it's your realtor, whether you do mortgage, whether you run a bar, whether you do a restaurant, whether you
contractor,
whether you're a contractor, whether you're a roofer, you know, customers. People love being treated the way they want to be treated, and they think they should be treated. And I will say, that's the way we've, you know, kind of focused our business, and that's the way. Andy does hers, and it's annoying to a certain point. You know, like we'll be sometimes you're in the middle of something, and she's got to take a call, and you know you got to take a call, you know, and you got to the customer comes first, and you know that's our thing. Like, customer's not always right. We've discovered over the years they're not always right, but they come first.
Yeah, that's a distinction that's important. You know, you have to, people need to know that they're
valued,
right, and they're recognized and acknowledged.
Yes.
And so it doesn't matter if they're right necessarily, it just matters that you're communicating.
And I'm trying to solve your issue and try to solve your problem, but
I don't want to get into this subject in too much detail, but it does make me think about something that I think is a challenge these days, and just touch on it a little bit. But you know, staffing, I think like staffing is kind of, I think it's always been, well, my perception is working in a restaurant bar atmosphere can be an attractive, lucrative source of employment. Now, I know there's some challenges with late nights, et cetera, weekends, but tell me how you've addressed staffing, and especially, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years, staffing has been different, right?
Yes, let's do the rewind. Go back to, do you have that on your?
It's on here, I can't find it. I'll end up pressing this button.
That's close.
That's good.
Well, throwing back to March of 2020, I mean, we just had a huge meeting with our staff, and like, you know, we need to get back to pre-COVID way of doing things. And in whether it be any sort of business, I think COVID just totally upended the apple cart cliche.
There you go. We're at the 16 now.
good. I'm glad you're counting because I can't.
Right, I know.
But it just really upended everything, and you know,
everyone kind of got lazy.
They got—I don't want to say lazy. They just got just
like a complacency, and
complacency was
that.
Complacent. It was complacent to be complacent.
That
you know,
that was the norm.
Yes, that was the norm.
And I think a lot of times, and you know, our staff, we tell them like, "But this is what the customers want." I'm like, "Yeah, because the customers have been trained,
right,
to have lesser service because of COVID." So it's been our kind of. We just had this meeting. With a lot of staff. I'm like, we got to get back to, you know, service is the key. You know, we're not having people come up and order from us. We're going to greet them. We're going to. And I think that's the same in any industry, frankly.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
You can't just, if you're going to sit and wait for people to come to you, you're going to go hungry. Yeah. You know?
100%.
I think it's an amazing way to, I think it's an amazing industry to train any kind of person to work
Absolutely.
For the future.
Yeah. Absolutely. She That was one of your first jobs, you know?
Yeah, I used to work at Widman's in Columbia.
Yeah.
And which is ironic because they were known for craft beer. And this was,
way before. Yeah.
Before craft beer was craft beer.
So you're responsible for this.
Right, I started this. I think everyone should work in this industry at some point in their life. It allows you to appreciate it so much.
It can be fast-paced. And it can be demanding. Right.
There's a lot of training involved. There's like life lessons, too. You know,
And you just respect other service. You just respect people then when
That's
you go
agreed.
Out.
Definitely that.
Yes.
And you get it. They're having a bad night. Like, so
right. yeah.
because of that, you tip them more.
Great point.
Like, it's just... teaches you life lessons.
It's the best commission job in the world.
It's truly the best commission job in the world.
You can earn it.
You know, my kids go out now, and I said, 20%. They're like, always 20%. I'm like, sometimes, if you got bad service, 15. But if you got good service, 22, 23.
You can spike it.
Yeah. Well, it's the details, like you said, paying attention to the details. I mean, I don't know how many times we've went into restaurants with my family or my brother, whoever, and it's like, every time I got to run the place, dim the lights, turn the game on. I mean, it's like every time I smile.
But I think that is a byproduct lately of COVID. I think everyone just got used to doing it themselves and, staying away from people. And, we just got to retrain people, honestly.
Retrain not only
staff, but retrain customers. That, the way you're expected to be treated these past 3-4 years ain't right. That's not the way you're supposed to be treated.
Sit down and enjoy.
Yeah.
It's
a special event to go somewhere.
It is.
I thought about that where I went to the grocery store the other day and I spent, less than I would going out. But I thought the going out experience... I think the word experience is maybe as important
exactly.
as any word.
And I think that's what we learned. It is a treat to go out. Yeah. And that's what we tell our people. Like, these people are coming here to spend
their
money. They're choosing to come here. And they want to be treated. It's a treat.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing with COVID. And you talk about staffing. And we've talked about this off the side. It's, the Amazon, the DoorDash, Instacart, that all exploded because people are like, wait, I can do this. I don't have to work in these service industry forward kind of jobs. So it's been a struggle. It's starting to even out a little bit more. But it's literally just absolutely through everything up in the air, and we're just trying to put those pieces back together. It's like you have a perfect Rubik's Cube, and someone just comes along and messes it up, and you got to take, for me, 3 years just to get one side filled,
I get it. I understand. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, I was just going to say we've been very fortunate to retain the staff that we have in this business. There's generally quite a bit of turnover, and a lot of our staff have been with us for many, many years.
Megan's been with us since 2000. We opened Central West End.
Yeah.
2013. So
it actually,
she's had this 10 years.
It
10
actually
years.
Inspired
11,
my,
almost 11.
Nice.
It actually inspired my question because I wouldn't have brought up the question if I didn't feel confident about the answer because I have had great experiences here with staff, and I know that's not necessarily the norm in places. So I wanted you to have the opportunity to kind of describe how you have handled it. And you're aware of it. You're certainly aware of the importance of it for the experience. And it's manifesting itself by your staff. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's the highest compliment I can actually receive. But, we invest in people.
Yep. We've talked about that before.
There's a lot of things that need to be fixed in these bars. And
you could spend 20 grand somewhere, right?
They all give us a list, and it's like, I'd rather invest in people. Hopefully that shows. Yeah. I mean, we've had some people that told us to F off, and, you're awful bosses, but it's very few and far between. And just the fact that, like I said, Megan, who's serving us today, has been here for 10 years.
She's
with
great.
Us for 10 years. Tommy, who runs all of our St. Louis stores, has been with us for 10 years. Josh, who runs our Kansas City side, has been with us for 7 or 8 years. I mean, they treat us well and we treat them well, and that's hopefully what we try to do. And they give us the flexibility. My biggest thing is, like, I just want to put my head on the pillow at night.
Yep.
And I want to sleep well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you need to put people that you can trust and you know will give you that opportunity. And knock on wood, I think we continue to do that, and everyone's kind of bought in on what we're going on. And I mean, I know you, like, once again, knock on wood, but it's very few and far between that I get a call late about anything.
Yeah. It's usually just a flag that waves in the middle of the night that the security
sets the alarms
off, and they call us.
Oh, my God.
It's probably just a flag. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Go back to sleep.
Yes.
Just don't even get it.
Well. It's a flag. There was one time. This is a funny story. That's not really about. The alarm went off, and I looked the cameras up, and I'm like, I don't see anything. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, okay, we'll cancel. I'm like, thank you. I go back to sleep. We get in the next morning. There's someone broke a window, stole plenty of TVs. No, I guess when the alarm went off, they were in. When the alarm, when I looked at it, they were out.
Nothing.
And
happened.
Then they came back in. So, I mean, that's one of those. But that's why you have a good alarm system,
yeah,
generally, and that's why you try and have an owner that pays attention to the cameras when they're woken up at 3 a.m. But
well,
we've been very blessed and fortunate in that. You know, we're part of the community. That's another thing. I think if places are part of the community and they...
You're ingrained here, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
they keep an eye out for
us.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, mm-hmm, you know what? Don't mess with that place. They're good to take
good
care
people,
of you.
Right.
Yeah.
We take care of our establishment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we have a...
It doesn't do the neighborhood any
courtyard.
Good if you're not any good.
Like,
yeah,
it's very... like, our courtyard, everything. I mean, we're very respectful of our neighbors.
It's amazing
and
here.
It goes both ways.
It's very Soulard-y here.
Yeah. It's very Soulard-y.
And there's new condos popping up all over the place around here.
That's another thing. It's like, and you guys talk about people moving here, and God, we just drove out. Where did we drove? We drove out west somewhere.
Yeah, we're way out west.
Where are we going? For a hockey game or
Washington?
No, just out west. It's just the amount of houses that are being built.
Like in Lake St. Louis and
where
beyond.
Where the hell are these people coming from?
Stuff.
You know? And then you have all these apartment complexes, not only here in Soulard, but
Right there
Midtown.
At Fenton.
Right at my,
yeah,
by my house.
Right, yeah, by your
41
place.
And 44.
Yeah,
big,
they're popping up there.
I'm like, who's getting, and it's filling up. It's just like, where are these people coming
we
from?
We need a stoplight.
Yeah, the only concern I have with St. Louis is, like, it's a city built for a million people, million plus people. That's, you know, the city needs to, we need to reinvest in the city. And, you know, we see more and more people doing that.
We have space here.
We do. We have a lot of space, you know, and that's something that I think St. Louis needs to pitch, you know.
Yep.
Not only housing, but warehousing,
businesses,
downtown,
and, you know, not to solve all the problems in a podcast, but I think a new airport will do wonders to attract headquarters here, middle of the country. Yeah, I mean, we love this city, we love this area. Obviously, we wouldn't be sitting here if we didn't, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and there's a lot of potential in this city, and the four of us sitting here, different jobs that we do, we know that, we can see it, it's tangible to us.
I can't believe the theme that just permeates every podcast we do. It always ends up with the pride in St. Louis and, you know, the opportunities that are here. So we hope that message is getting out there. And, you know, everybody here is doing their part, but there's always a little more to be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope that it gets a little contagious.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Sean and Andy, I hope you sleep well this week as you embark.
I don't sleep much this week.
As you embark on a huge week.
We'll be checking the weather.
Yes.
Yes. Check the weather. Everyone, you know, come down to ITAP. It's gonna be hopping here for sure.
And, you know, like this is when you come to Soulard, when you come to Mardi Gras, when you come to Taste of Soulard, when you come to the Pet Parade, you know the rule for everyone. It should be a rule in life. It's just don't be a dick.
Yeah, thank you. And I was just gonna ask for the
don't be a jerk. Sorry, I know this is a family friendly.
Well, yeah, we're all family here. You know, and I was gonna ask you for the litany of things that are going on, but you named them. That's great. Andy Conroy with Savio Realty, Sean Conroy of International Tap House, thank you so much. Signing off from Pinnacle Home Loans. Thank you.